I want to take our Bible reading tonight from St. John chapter 1, beginning with verse 6. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I have chosen for the subject for my sermon tonight, Witness for Christ. We hear this said in all of the Orthodox churches of the world today, that we should be witnesses for Christ. And in truth, we should be. But how can we be unless we ourselves lift our consciousness to that of the Christ consciousness? How can we be witness for him unless we live the life ourselves? Unless we are filled with his grace, his goodness, his peace, and his bliss, and we demonstrate him in all of our works, we cannot invite. We are so used to identifying ourselves with the human ego. This ego is really a subtle and insidious thing. I think that we identify ourselves so thoroughly with this ego because when we say, I came, I went, I am, I was, I am doing this, or I'm going here, any of these things, we identify it with the body that moves in the direction of the thought stimulated by that particular statement. It is a natural thing that we should do this, and yet we are not this body at all, because you see, the body didn't exist before birth. It has within it five elements. It is not conscious of itself, not aware of itself when it sleeps. And it will become a corpse. And so therefore, how can we be that? When this is the temple of the living God, and we are told that God is eternal. This God within us is contained within three bodily jars, the physical or the gross, and the subtle body, and the causal or the idea body. And it has five sheaths, which are ignorance and the mind. I've forgotten the rest of them, but the gross ego, and finally, it is the ego consciousness or ignorance. Anyway, there are five sheaths that are all contained. This body is, or this soul is contained in. And we must do away with this consciousness completely. When we think of what it says in this chapter tonight about John being the witness, John, in this particular instance, refers to the higher mind or the intellect, that mind which, having risen in consciousness, is capable of receiving some direction from the divine. But it is not yet the consciousness of the Christ. It is John the Baptist. John who gets things spasmodically, intermittently, but not constantly. And all through the Bible, in the history that is told of John the Baptist and of the Christ, John comes because he is baptizing our whole being with this consciousness of the Messiah which is to come, this higher self. And as he studies, as he meditates, he tries to visualize this life which is within himself. It must come this way in the beginning because man has been so steeped in his darkness, in his ignorance, that he cannot perceive the truth directly. Now he can make great progress if he will learn first to be a witness of himself. Now we were speaking of a witness for Christ. But in order to become a true witness for Christ, we must go through the necessary steps in order to attain that state. And one of them, and the chief one, is to inquire of yourself, who am I? If you are not the body, if you are not the mind, if you are not the soul, in fact, then who are you? You are that eternal spirit, that eternal life, that eternal consciousness which dwells within the body. Now, it is these thought processes of all of the things in the world which we take in through our five senses that keeps us bound to this body consciousness, this human ego. Truly, you stop to think about it. Every time you open your eyes, your ears, every time you take something into your mouth, every time you feel something, you, in fact, register a thought of that experience within yourself. And it is through this particular way that you build your world. But if you will close your eyes and go deep in the silence of your own soul, and you will witness these thoughts which come and go and not identify yourself with them at all. Watch them. Watch how your mind works. And then ask yourself, who is it that is witnessing these thoughts? Actually, we aren't those thoughts. We aren't the things that the thoughts create. Don't you see? We aren't that at all. We are that eternal substance which can witness this whole world around us, which we bring into being through our thinking processes. When we are able, actually, to disassociate ourselves from our minds, which cause all of our difficulties, then we will truly find liberation within ourselves. And we will be able to live a life in the consciousness of Christ. And we will be true witnesses for Him. This is the truth. We must learn to become the witnesses of these thoughts. As we do this, we will see that all of our burdens disappear, all of our problems, all of our troubles. We will not be wondering, should we do this or should we do that? Is this right or is this wrong? Because it is only thinking that makes something either right or wrong. Man was born out of the substance of God. That eternal life is the spark within each of us which makes us move and live and breathe and have our beings. He is that infinite intelligence. He is the very breath we draw. He is the light which lights our whole being and our whole world. The light is outside so that we can see. But unless we open our eyes of awareness to the Spirit which is all around us, we in truth live in utter ignorance and darkness. We are satisfied with the rewards of the senses, and yet those senses bring us nothing in the way of freedom or liberation. They keep us, in fact, bound to this body. It is possible, you see, as it tells in Revelations, actually to escape from the body, to travel all over everywhere, to the moon, to the sun, to the stars, to all of the planets, without a spaceship. But that is not what we want. We are not interested in powers. We are interested in God, who contains within himself all power, who contains within himself all wisdom, all love, all bliss. Why do we settle for this little tiny ego, this human self, which does not in fact actually exist except in our own consciousness? We are that light. We are that power. We are that wisdom. We are that love. And we have it all within ourselves, not just one little tiny part that functions in connection with this vehicle that we call the body. This light, which we are in truth, is the light which made all of the universes, the consciousness which made it, the energy which made it. And yet we limit ourselves to this little tiny self when we have this tremendous power within us, this tremendous light, this tremendous wisdom, the power to know now, this moment, what is right for us and what is wrong. In fact, right and wrong to such a one do not in truth exist. There is a story told about Guru Nanak, who is a great saint, and of course he is the founder of the Sikh religion in India. And as all of you know, there has been great divergences in religious thought and belief between the Muslims and the Hindus for centuries. They have fought each other like mad. And they have promulgated wars. There has been bloodshed. And they certainly believe in two different modes of religious life, completely and totally. Yet Guru Nanak one time went into a Muslim temple, and he lay flat on the floor and put his feet toward the altar. And the priest of the temple was horrified. He was filled with great anger. And immediately he went to Guru Nanak and he said, "How dare you so desecrate the altar of God by lying on the ground, not even sitting in a meditative posture with your head toward the altar instead of your feet? How dare you do this?" And Guru Nanak, having pretended that he was even sleeping during this time when he was lying down with his feet toward the altar, looked at him and he said, "If the Holy Father will only tell me where the altar of God is not, I shall be very pleased to put my head in that direction and to take my feet away." And still the priest was very angry, and he went up to him and he took his feet and he pushed them from the west to the east. But strangely enough, as all of the congregation watched this process going on, the altar and the whole mosque moved with the feet of Guru Nanak. And they realized that here truly was a man of God. And they realized also that God was everywhere equally present. And they all came to him and they bowed at his feet. And so he taught them and he said, "My children, do you not know that God is within you, without you? He is up, he is down, he is in the east and in the west and in the north and in the south. He is everywhere equally present. You cannot say that there is one place where God is not." And yet constantly we have this idea of separation within our consciousness. We think we have to go to God, when this very moment we ourselves are part and parcel of him. But we live our little selfish lives, thinking only what we may gain for ourselves, accumulate for ourselves, do for ourselves, without any thought of anyone else many times. Everything that we do, even the work we do for money, so that we may buy the things to satisfy our desires, to give us pleasures. We don't stop to think that we must put God first, and that we are He, in fact, this moment, that we need go nowhere, we need search nowhere, we need think of nothing except God, because He is all there is. Every single object in the world, every thought, every form is He Himself. If we would only take our consciousness off of our little selves and put it on Him, that divinity who dwells in our hearts, then in truth we would know the glory of life and the glory of that God which is within us. As we make ourselves the witness to view these thoughts as they come and go, you see, our mind is completely and totally detached from those things. They have no power over us. We are not building karma at all. We are the witness. We are at peace. We are in a static condition, so to speak. And all of a sudden, instead of thinking of yourself as I, the body, you think of I as the witness. And the thought should be transferred to the heart, because there is the seat of the Almighty. There is where His great love is enthroned. And all of a sudden, when you identify with this I, this one in your heart, you realize that I am He. I am that eternal being. And even that finally goes up in a sulfuric odor. And there is nothing left but God. There is no sense of even identity with anything or anyone else. And you are filled with this light, this bliss, this eternal wisdom, which is your very self. When you come back to the state of dual consciousness, you bring that light, and you do, in fact, become the light of the world, even as Christ was, because you have become one with Him, that Christ consciousness, that Christ love, which dwells within the heart of every man. In everything that I teach you divine love and service. I ask you that no matter what you do, whatever smallest act, that it be dedicated to Him. When you love each other, love God in each other. When husband and wife come together, know that it is God in each other that you are serving. There is no thought of sin. How could there be? Because there is the purity of the union between you. When you think of working, work for Him. And do everything that you do perfectly for Him. Get your mind off of the little self. You will not deprive yourself. Rather, you will reward yourself so much more greatly than you ever dreamed of, than you ever could if you served your little human self, that you do not even have the power to conceive the difference. You take joy in it. You do not even mind the suffering, because your pain is the breaking of the shell of your understanding. Do you not see that it is through this pain of birth of the Christ within yourself that you come to know where this inquiry of who am I, what am I, leads to? Because every single scripture in the world is, as I have said so many times, the history of the evolution of every man, from the human to the divine. And as you read each verse, each chapter of that from the beginning, which starts out with creation, with Genesis, it is the inquiry into this greater self, this greater self, and all that it goes through in this process from the human to the divine. Read each chapter. Read all of the various struggles that they had. Sometimes their hatred one for the other. Sometimes they're love one for the other. The wars that the various tribes went through, and the journeys that they took, the individual lives that are put before you, and yet all woven together in one pattern. And if you will look back in your consciousness, even to your life in this incarnation, you will find that you started in as a little child in all of your innocence. You learned about the world of the senses. And gradually, you were taken into this world of the senses. And you learned to concentrate only on this little self, because this was what you were taught to do. If you had been taught right from the beginning to fix your mind on God and to know that you are not the body, but that you live in this temple of the living God, then your whole approach to life would be very, very different, would it not? Because you would have been taught correctly, and you would have been taught to do only good, because you would have been taught that as ye give, so shall ye receive. You cannot live just for yourself alone, because you will dry up. The fountain of spirit will cease to run for you. You will be filled with troubles, with problems eventually. If everything goes all right now, believe me, there comes a time in this dual world, this dual consciousness, when such will not be the fact, because there is not one in the human state that does not have to meet these constant problems, the ups and downs of this universal existence. It is only when man takes his consciousness, his thought, off of himself and places it on the divine that truly he learns the meaning of all life. He learns what goes on within his own being, and God reveals these things to him. He becomes, in fact, his own physician. And when I say that, I do not mean the human ego in the sense of the guru at all. But God within him heals him. He heals him of all of his ailments, of all of his woes, of all of his problems, of all of his troubles. Now the guru comes and takes much of this on himself or herself in order that he may create the empty spot in the disciple wherein he may put forth the truth, hoping that through the seeds of truth which are planted, that the disciple will water those seeds so that they will break forth and grow into strong trees, into strong flowers of God realization. It takes a lot of effort, and yet the whole path is so simple. Merely practicing the presence of God, going inside and inquiring, who am I? Who really am I? And then listening for his inner voice. You will find that your heart will expand, that you will take joy in that service, and the reward which will come to you physically, mentally, emotionally, materially, and above all spiritually will be beyond your wildest dreams. And yet you hang on so stubbornly to this little human ego. You want to do things only for yourself. You want to be yourself, but you see the self you want to be is not yourself. It is that self which in fact does not exist. It is that ignorance within yourself, that delusion within yourself that you cease, or that you insist on hanging on to. The real self, if you really want to be yourself, is your God self. You, God within you. The miracle of it, to think that you are in truth the Son of God, an heir with Christ, and that if you will only go all the way, that you can have a new body in Christ. Your whole being is changed, and you are no longer living in your gross body, although you seem to walk in it and move in, and you look like everybody else. But you are living in your subtle body. It is a refined body, a sensitive body. And sometimes, when you come down from that high estate to function in this world of duality, in the world of the senses, it is a definite physical hurt to you. because you feel the drain that comes down. It's a pain. It's actually painful to do it. But you can. And you can enjoy all of the things of the world and at the same time keep your head in heaven. It is said that the seat of memory is in the heart because God is there. But when the individual soul starts his journey toward awareness of the infinite, this memory is transferred right under the sacrum in the spine. And gradually, as the consciousness ascends the spinal stairway, the powers are developed. The various worlds within you are revealed to you. There is nothing which is held back from you right from the beginning. You can see the manifestation of this whole universe. You can see it evolving from the tiniest speck, which has the consciousness of division from its greater self. Through all the various form processes, you can see one feeding upon the other. And as you see each particular kingdom, you will see that the kingdom below sustains it. And then as you grow into the next kingdom, then still more is under your jurisdiction. And finally, you come to the kingdom of man. And when man himself becomes a God-man, he has control over all of the kingdom of heaven and of earth. And what do we settle for? We want to attain such high positions in life. We want to fulfill ourselves. We want to express our talents and our gifts. Certainly we do. And we think that if we go to God, if we find this self, that we are going in some way to be frustrated not to be able to express ourselves individually. This couldn't be farther from the truth. We will truly learn how to express ourselves if we will find out who we really are. Because then all of God, every bit of it, all of his fire, his power, his energy, his intelligence is contained within you. And you will discover that you have gifts that you never even dreamed of. And if you have one particular gift, you will find this energy, this power, this intelligence within yourself flowing forth to make it great. So that you make your mark in the world, and you as an individual soul will be forever remembered in the annals of history. I do not take anything away from you when I offer you God. I offer you and give you everything there is. But if you refuse the gift, what can I do? I cannot get inside of you and beat it into you. I try my best in every way possible, but I cannot do it for you. You must make the effort every day of starting the day out and fixing your full attention upon him and thank him for the blessing of this life, for the blessing of this opportunity, the dawn of a new day, which you may live for him and for your greater self. Commune with him. Establish that feeling of oneness with him. Feel the bliss of his presence. Feel the glorious light of his intelligence. And then go forth and do whatever labor is assigned to you with that consciousness that he indeed is doing it. And that you are not separate from him. There is not God and you. There is only God as you. Isn't that a wonderful thought? How could you be a failure with such a start for every day? And take time all through the day until it becomes an unconscious thing with you, that constantly you feel him there in the background, that you know that it is he who is doing all of these things for himself. And in fact, you are that one who is being served. And then at the close of the day, look back in the day and give thanks for the blessings. And regardless of whether the experiences have seemed to be good or whether they have seemed to be bad, they are only so as viewed by your human self. Because in God, they are good. They are the experiences which are necessary to bring you into a greater understanding, to expand your consciousness, and make you a more learned person, better equipped to fight life, because you will find the power of overcoming within yourself, the power to overcome any and every obstacle. And whatever you do, do it against no man, no country, but know that all men are God's children, that every single nation of the earth is His, and that you should be putting forth the idea of love and of brotherhood everywhere, because in truth, we are all children of the one Father. Anything that you do, if you do with the idea of getting even for somebody or keeping something for yourself, it will never be a success in God. You must put forth the truth, the brotherhood of man. You must remember Christ's commandment above all others. Don't forget that all of the Ten Commandments were given to us by Moses under the law. But when the Christ came, He gave one that transcended all the rest of them. And you can throw all the rest of them out if you wish, if you will obey that one. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye shall love one another, and your neighbor as yourself. Because your neighbor is yourself. You cannot possibly segregate yourself from your neighbor. Everybody is your friend. Everybody is your neighbor, because everybody is, in fact, your very self. God within you. You cannot do otherwise. Do you not see the greatness of the gifts you have to offer the world, if you can be that kind of a witness for Christ? But before you can, you must realize that within yourself. And you won't realize it by catering to your little self and all of its desires, all of its habits, and completely and totally disregarding everyone else and everything else, and especially God. You will only get it if you will be big enough to put Him first, to love Him more than yourself, because in fact He is not a stranger, He is yourself. And when you love Him, you are in truth loving yourself, serving yourself, giving of yourself to yourself. This is a tremendous play we have in this world, and we have been taught so many things that are of darkness, of ignorance, of delusion. And none of them are true. God is the only reality. And when you come to the first chapter of Revelations, you will find that after you have brought yourself to the point where you are willing to surrender this little self, which in truth does not exist, at the feet of God, and the Christ is about to be born within you, the Christ consciousness, then again, John is said to be the witness. And he witnesses this higher mind, everything that the soul is passing through. You see all the various things that are spoken about in the Bible, and you learn to relate them inside of yourself, because you see, you have transcended this human mind, and you are in the consciousness of God. And you are watching what is happening in your body, how you are being taken step by step. And then in truth, you know the meaning of the scriptures. You know that that scripture refers not to just to one man who lived 2,000 years ago, or to one who lived 5,000 years ago, or to one who lived at any time. Not one, but to you, to each and every one of us. It refers to us. And it tells about us from the beginning to the end. And yet there is no end. Because in the last chapter of Revelations, it speaks about that we should be ready, because He's coming quickly. And as He comes, as we hear His footsteps and our hearts are quickened with the knowledge of His coming, the whole being is lifted up. It is resurrected in Christ. And it is truly the greatest news that ever was, because you realize that you have come face to face with your real self, that shining one.
who is the light of the world. Now let us pray to him. O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
Divine Mother.
Divine Mother.
I feel the wonder and the beauty.
I feel the wonder and the beauty.
Of thy glorious presence.
Of thy glorious presence.
In every part of my being.
In every part of my being.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
And surrender myself to thee.
And surrender myself to thee.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
Surging in every cell of my body.
Surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence.
My mind and my intelligence.
Are radiant with thy healing light.
Are radiant with thy healing light.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
Of my communion with thee.
Of my communion with thee.
I and my Father are one.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am he.
Blessed Spirit, I am he.
All Heavenly Father.
All Heavenly Father.
May thy love shine forever.
May thy love shine forever.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
May I be able to awaken all hearts with my own.
May I be able to awaken all hearts with my own.
And bring them to thee.
And bring them to thee.